The following telephone recordings were recorded in 1977 by Ben Decibel. This is one of the panel offices he recorded, Gedney 9 in the 77th Street Central Office in Brooklyn. One thing that made recording from payphones difficult in New York was the cold weather.
Okay, sounds pretty good. There's these phones here, the ones I tried the first time, which are near this candy shack, and it seems to be over 24 hours a day. I find hot spotlights blaring down, giving me nice warmth at this coin phone, and there's no fluorescent hum in any way exacerbating the little bit that we saw already. So it's pretty good. Let's get to work.
Officer 25364.
Please dial UL35264 again. This is a recording. Please dial the number again.
Special Operator 148, front, why are you calling, please?
Officer 25364.
Thank you. Your calling has been changed. Please note the new number, 782-0240.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One thing you're going to be hearing a lot of in this tape is revertive pulsing, which sounds like this. That's a typical sound we'd hear when our panel office from which we're calling is selecting an outgoing trunk. The trunk selection is accomplished by the sender, which gives us dial tone and stays on the line until the end of outpulsing, telling the switches where to stop. The switches in the panel office are actually motor-driven, and they move at their own speed. Revertive pulsing is used in a two-way conversation between the switches and the sender, and most of the pulsing you hear is actually coming from the far end back toward us. The following call demonstrates a simple trunk selection operation. He's going to dial 811, which is the code for the local business office operator. Since all that's required is to select the trunk and pick it up, there's going to be no outpulsing. So after he dials the third digit, you'll hear four revertive pulse digits in the panel rhythm, followed by the sound of the sender cutting out. At that point, you'll hear the ring associated with the business office operator trunk. This call was recorded during the daytime, so in addition to the revertive pulsing, in between digits and after the third digit, you'll hear other various noises. But I think you'll hear the revertive pulsing clear enough.
New York telephone, your number, please.
Beachview 8, 2000.
Good afternoon, Miss Russo. May I help you?
Yes, for Beachview 8.
Yes, sir.
2000.
Is this a business phone, sir?
No.
In panel, all connections are made by the sender operating the switches through revertive pulsing, even to the permanent signal trunk where you go when you leave a phone off the hook. Notice that as this dial tone times out, there are two revertive digits just to connect him to the permanent signal holding trunk. The next call is intra-office to one of the panels in this same central office building. At this point, you might want to just notice the revertive digits which occur as he's dialing the call. And they occur at specific times. For example, after he dials the third digit, you will hear two revertive pulse digits, which correspond to the sender setting up the route to the incoming frame. From there are five more revertive digits that need to be sent, and they're all sent out as soon as possible. Therefore, as Ben dials the last four digits, you'll hear one revertive digit after each digit he dials. The only exception to this is that after he dials the hundreds digit, you'll hear two revertive digits being sent out. Also, since this call goes to the supervision test, you'll get to hear panel supervision, which is kind of unique. Next, he'll call the crossbar 1 in this very same building. You'll notice that the revertive pulsing on the last four digits is different sounding, though it does have the same basic numeric pattern. It sounds different because when we're calling a crossbar office, the revertive pulsing is simply coming from a revertive pulse sender in the distant office. Since there's no motor-driven selector moving at its own speed, the sender can send the revertive pulses out at the maximum pulse rate. As a result, you can hear during the last four digits that the RP has a more regular quality to it. On this next call, he's again dialing to the crossbar 1 in the same building. You can tell that's a call to an entity in this very same building by the high frequency content in the busy signal, the lack of trunk resonance, and the fact that when he dialed the third digit of the prefix, there were only two RP digits rather than four. Now, this next call has an unusual noise in it, which I'll have to take a moment to explain. Let me just say that I've been inside panel offices, and compared to, say, Crossbar, they are very quiet places. But sometimes you'll hear a motor shaft turning around and around and squeaking at one squeak per revolution. I don't know whether it was that way in the 20s and 30s when this stuff was invented, but by the 70s it was commonplace. Sometimes noises like this get induced into the sounds you hear on the phone line through the microphonics of relays, and you can hear this during the dialing section of the next call. When Ben dials the third digit, you'll hear four panel revertive digits for the direct trunk to the panel office we're calling. That's to get the trunk set up. Then, as he dials the last four digits, revertive pulsing will proceed in the normal pattern, and while all of this is going on, you'll also hear the squeaky motor shaft. Let's call the same office and dial the supervision test. You'll notice that the supervision sounds are a little strange. Again, within panel, it just tends to sound different. On a subsequent call to this same supervision test, when Ben hung up, the coin return process failed, and so he ended up getting another dial tone without having to put in a dime. Now that is almost what it sounds like to get a dial tone from a normal home phone line in a panel office. Here's what it really sounds like. But since he's calling from a prepay phone, the sound of dial tone coming on is obscured, and you get this effect. Let me take a minute and explain why the dial tone ends up sounding like that from a prepay coin phone. First, we're hearing the sound coming out of the prepay coin phone when there's no coin in and the line is idle. This being a ground start line, there's no talk battery on the phone. If you blow into the mouthpiece, you don't hear yourself very well. As the dime goes in, we first hear a tick. That's the sound of the payphone grounding the tip of the phone line. The grounded tip operates a relay in the central office, which in turn signals a set of line finders to begin searching for Ben's phone line to give him a dial tone. Once Ben's line is found, he's connected to a first selector, which in panel is referred to as a district, with a sender between him and the district. The sender gives him dial tone. We're not hearing the dial tone at full volume yet because the telephone has to make that beep-beep sound associated with the dime, even though there's nobody on the line who's really listening for it. And that's how a 1970s Bell System prepay coin phone messes up the sound of dial tone. Let's go on to the next call now. He's going to dial zero. And once the sender realizes he's not dialing anything besides the zero, it will set up the route with only two reverted digits this time. Then there will be cut through, a flash, a pause, and then the TSP trunk will supervise ringing the operator.
Could you tell me the area code for Hayward, California?
Hayward, California?
Yes.
Hold on. Four one five.
Thank you.
When the TSP operator hung up, it caused the panel office to disconnect Ben. But he didn't go back to dial tone, he went back to a reorder. He then had to hang up from the reorder, which triggered coin return and his line going back to idle. The reorder comes from the district, and it's the one thing that it can connect you to without having to revert a pulse. Sometimes the switches move even more slowly than normal, and the call ends up going through anyway because eventually they get moving again. This next call demonstrates that. He's going to dial the three-digit code for the automated number readback. You'll hear four panel revertive digits, but the last digit has some long pauses within that digit. It goes tick-tick-tick, 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 like that. And the sender doesn't care because it's just waiting for the right number of pulses to accrue, and the call goes through fine, and we get the number readback. Now this reorder is coming from the trunk circuit associated with the number readback. When it times out and hangs up on him, watch what happens. That's right, he's dropping from one reorder to another. Now he's on the district's reorder, and from this one he has to hang up to trigger coin return and go back to idle. By the way, those digits are recorded on photographic film. The machine has a film cylinder in it with 10 little movie soundtracks, each of which has a different digit. Now, if you've ever been served out of a step-by-step office in a major city that had automatic number identification, you might have recognized this sequence of sounds from the previous call. That is the sound of the automatic number identification B system, which has its famous 5800 Hz tone, and was mostly used on step offices, but also panels and crossbar ones in northern cities had this system as well. Well, that's it for this segment. In the next segments, we'll be discovering some of the intercept systems around New York City.
Is not in service.
Please note the mute number.
And we'll hear some calls going through tandems. Coming up.